Well, I'm ready. Are you ready to get right in the Word tonight? So we've been singing about the lion and the lamb. Did you pick that up? The lion and the lamb. And so that's the name of my sermon today, the lion and the lamb. And that's Jesus, right? As a lamb, he went to the cross. But on the third day, he rose as the lion of Judah. He went to the cross and was sacrificed for you and for me as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But then he arose on the third day as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The crucifixion, there's no event greater than that event of evil and suffering and pain. And today, the big idea is this. I want you to walk away. If you're a note taker, you have your Bible, I hope. If not, we have scriptures for you on the screen. But the big idea today is your pain has purpose. Can you see that with me? My pain has purpose. When you know that your pain has a purpose, then you're able to get through hard times, suffering, pain, hurt, heartache, brokenness, rejection, betrayal. You're able to get through all of it and come out better and not bitter if you know the pain that you're going through has purpose. And our example is Jesus, right? In Hebrews chapter 12, it says he endured the cross. He endured the cross. How could he endure such suffering and pain as our substitute? He had a mission. He was on a mission, and that was to rescue us. He came to rescue us. He came to redeem us. He came to restore us. He came to reconcile us, have a relationship with God the Father. He came to give us a place. All that he did in his mission, how could he do it? How could he go through such pain? No other event in history had such pain and suffering. You say, oh, Pastor, don't you know there were two crosses beside him on each side? They were crucified, but there's a difference. Pastor, don't you know that the Romans would crucify a multitude of Christians? Yeah, but there's a difference because Jesus took your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. He took all of our suffering, all of our heartache, all of our pain, all of our hardship, all the betrayal, persecution, opposition, hard times that you and I go through. He took it on the cross. How could he do that? Because the Bible says he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Did you catch that, family? He endured the cross because of the joy, that's the purpose that was set before him. Well, Pastor, what was the joy? You and me, the body of Christ, the church. He had purpose in his pain. It wasn't for nothing. He could endure the pain because there was purpose in his pain. And if you realize today that what you're going through today, the purpose is greater than the pain. I'm going to say it again. The purpose is greater than the pain. And so we're going to get right into it today. Look at the overheads with me. Matthew 28. Let's look at it. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's the redemptive story. This is the foundation for our faith right here. So let's begin. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. I want you to see what's happening here. It's the beginning of a new week. It's the beginning of a new day. It's the dawning of a new day. Anybody besides me, have you ever been to a sunrise service? Three of you have been to a sunrise service. Well, anyway, I grew up in the church I grew up in. On Easter Sunday morning, you had a sunrise service, and it was as the sun was coming up. And I used to wonder as a kid, why do they have a sunrise service? And I know now why they do, because of the scripture. Because it's symbolic of the beginning of a new day. It's the beginning of a new season. It can be the beginning of a new chapter for your life. It can be the beginning of a new season, a new chapter, the trajectory to change in your life, a new direction, a new beginning. I believe that God has something new for all of us today. Amen. So the beginning of a new day, the first day of the week, look at the scripture. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Next verse. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon it. Now get the picture. Do you remember at Christmas when Jesus was born? At his birth, there were angels. And here we see at his burial, death, and resurrection, there are angels. There are angels at the beginning of his ministry on earth and the end of his ministry on earth. And notice that the angel is sitting on the stone. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered unto the women and said, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, but he is not here." I've been there. I'm so glad that there's an empty tomb, right? He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, what does that mean? He fulfilled every prophecy. He fulfilled every promise. He can do that in your life as well. Every prophecy that's been spoken over your life from him, every promise that he's made to you through the scriptures, he can fulfill that as well. Because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask, imagine, dream, or think. And the work that he's begun in you, he will finish that work. One of the seven sayings on the cross, didn't he say, "It is finished"? What is finished? The mission. What is finished? Finished the prophecy spoken concerning him, his death, burial, and resurrection. The promises that were made. As he said, "Come, see," the place where the Lord lay. I want to extract the word "come." Secondly, the word "see." I want to encourage you today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if he's not the lamb that was slain and the lion that was risen from the dead in your life, come to him today and see what he can do in your life, what he can do in your marriage, your family, your ministry, your career, your business, your occupation. Come and see. I love that. Next verse, and go quickly and tell his disciples. Two more words. Everybody say it with me. Come, see, go, tell. I like it. Come and see what he can do, and then go and tell. Once that you have come, and once you've invited him into your life and see what he can do in your life, then you just got to go, and you got to tell somebody, don't you? Go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you will see him, lo, as he has told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Resurrection Sunday should bring you great joy. Knowing that he has risen should bring you great joy. Knowing that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. And that he died and rose on the third day as a lion of the tribe of Judah should bring you great joy. It should make you realize that when Christ in you is the hope of glory, the Christ in you, the greater is he that is in you than the hardship, the suffering, the pain that you're going through today. In your pain, there is a purpose today. So they did run to bring the disciples the good word. This is the foundation of our faith. Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. God had a plan. John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said this, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." I love it. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation. It's on the screen, Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 5 with me. Here's what it says. "And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not." You know, I think that's a word for a lot of us today. Today is the day that your weeping should stop. Today is the day that you should stop replaying your past, mistakes, hurts, hang-ups, pain, suffering, heartbroken, empty, loneliness, betrayal, all that you've gone through, incest, rape, addiction, divorce, bankruptcy, loss, hurt, pain, whatever's been holding you down and whatever's been holding you back from your future, today, let go and let God have it. You don't have to live your life in grief. Did you know the Bible says in Isaiah that he bore our grief and he bore our sorrow. That's in Isaiah chapter 53. So God does not want you and I to live life through grief and sorrow and being a manic depressant and suicidal thoughts and tormenting thoughts of anguish, of hurt, of betrayal, and brokenness. Today is the day that you stop weeping. I don't know about you, but I've had too many parties in my life. Really, Pastor? Yeah, pity. Parties. Too many. You probably haven't, but I've had way too many times of feeling sorry for myself, looking and focusing on my pain more than the purpose in my pain. So notice he says, weep not. Stop weeping over that marriage, over that job, over that career, over that relationship, over that. Stop replaying it. Stop living it. It's only holding you down. It's only holding you back. The coulda, woulda, shoulda. We all have it. But today, weep not. And look at the next word, behold. Weep not so you can behold. What do you mean, Pastor? So you can see your future. So you can see the dream that God has for your life. So you can see the aspiration and the ambition and the assignment that God has for you. Your future is bigger than your past. Can you tell two people that? Your future is bigger than your past. Come on, somebody else. Your future is bigger than your past. Stop weeping. My pastor, John Osteen, used to always tell me, you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. Oh, come on. You can't unscramble scrambled eggs. It happened. Let it go. Let it drop. Give it to God and keep moving forward. I like it. And behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he's prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals therein. Verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, these are metaphors, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Who's that lamb that was slain for us? Jesus. Who's the lion of Judah that prevailed, that overcame? Jesus. In the midst of the elders stood a lamb that had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. That's a metaphor. Which are the seven spirits? That's the Holy Spirit. He has seven different functions. Seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And they sung a new song. I declare today to everybody here and everybody online, it's time today to sing a new song. It's time today to get a new tune. It's time today to get a new frequency, a new station. That old song, let it die, let it die, let it die. Sing a new song. And you know, the Bible says he gives you songs of deliverance. He gives you songs of deliverance. You can sing your way out of depression. You can sing your way out of lack. You can sing your way out of disease. Oh, sing a new song. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. Who? The Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, who has redeemed us. He was on a mission. He rescued us. He redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, every tongue, every people, and has made unto us, our God, kings and priests. It sounds like a Charles Neiman sermon, kings and priests. That we are now kings and priests, and we will reign on the earth. Because of the lion and the Lamb of God, you and I are not victims anymore. We now are victors. We are to rule. We are to reign with the authority of that name. We're to rise above. We're not to fall. We're to fly. We're not to crawl. We're to climb. We're not to sink. We're to soar. Come on, somebody. The day of feeling sorry for myself, weep no more. The day of being down and up world, gone because of the lion of the tribe of Judah who rose on the third day, defeated death, hell, and the grave. We will reign in this earth. We will overcome. Oh, come on, let's give the King of Kings, the Lamb of God, The Lion of Judah. Wow. The lamb was slain on Good Friday. The lion rose on Sunday morning. The lamb went to the cross. The lion was resurrected and rose from the dead. His pain and suffering had a purpose. His pain and suffering had a purpose. Pastor, why is there so much pain? I've heard this question so many times. If God is a good God, why is there suffering and pain in the world? Because life isn't fair. Life is broke. This world is broken. This world is cursed. You know that because of the original sin in the Garden of Adam and Eve. So we live in a broken world. Soon it will be changed into a perfect world. But until then, you and I got to deal with it. You and I have got to face it. You and I have got to realize that whatever you're going through today could be the hardest season of your life. Whatever you're going through, see the purpose in your pain. You're going to get through it. You're going to come out of it. You're going to have a story. You're going to have a testimony. You're going to have greater platform. You're going to have greater impact. You're going to have greater light. You're going to be greater salt. You're going to be significant. You're going to make a difference. You're going to be a world changer. Yeah. So it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, what do they get from all their hard work and their struggles under the sun? Verse 23. The entire life is filled with pain. Well, there it is. And their work is unbearable. You see, for you and I to go through pain today without knowing the purpose in our pain, it's unbearable. For us to go through hard times and not know the reason or the purpose, you see, God's not behind the suffering, but God will take the suffering and he'll turn it around for his good and bring his purpose to pass in your life. When I understand that the suffering is for my preparation, the suffering is for my development. Oh, the devil wants to destroy me, but God will develop me through it. I'm going to say it again. That hardship, that betrayal, that hurt, they walked out on you, the loss, all that has happened in your life. The devil wants to use it to steal, kill, and destroy you, but God said, give it to me, and I'll develop you through it. And the devil will wish he has never messed with you. So he says that, look at this, the entire life is filled with pain and their work is unbearable. Even at night, their minds won't stop running, won't rest. Insomnia is a plague in our society. You know it. People can't sleep, toss and turn, mental torment, mind will never wind down. Taking drugs to wind down, taking all kinds of things to get at peace so we can sleep a little bit at night. Even at night, their minds won't rest. Even this is pointless. Easter is all about the greatest evil and suffering at all time. And how did Jesus handle it? He endured the cross for the joy or the purpose that he saw going to the cross. How do we handle it, Pastor? How do we get through? How do we overcome all the pain, the suffering, the heartache, the brokenness, the betrayal? How do we handle it? How do we get through it? I want to give you 5 quick ways. Number one, here it says, embrace the pain and suffering if you know it has a purpose. You'll embrace it if you know it has a purpose. So your mindset should be this, in whatever you're going through today, whatever season of betrayal, of loss, of emptiness and brokenness, your mindset must be this: I'm going to profit from all the pain I'm going through today. I'm going to learn from my losses. I'm not losing, I'm learning today. I'm going to harvest all my hurts. I'm going to advance through my adversity. I'm going to gain from my pain. Those of you who go to the gym, you know it. You know, no pain, no gain, right? Your muscle doesn't grow until it's broken down. The muscle has to be broken down for it to be built up. Well, notice that if I want gain, I'm going to have to embrace the pain. I can embrace the pain if I won't let it be useless, if I won't let it destroy me, if I won't look through life through the lens of pain, but I'll look through life through the lens of purpose. Oh, you know the people, they go to another church far, far away from here, that all they want to do is talk about their trouble, their heartache, their brokenness, how people have done them wrong. It's happened to all of us. They're looking through life through the lens of pain. That's why they're dysfunctional. That's why they're broken. That's why they're never healed until they change their glasses, until they change the lenses that they're looking through life through. You got to change the lens of pain to the lens of purpose. God, I know you didn't do this, but God, I turn it over into your hands, and you're going to turn it around for my good. And I'm not going to come out broken and bitter. I'm going to come out better and bigger and blesseder. Excuse my English. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. Have you gone through all that you've gone through up until 2026 Easter weekend? Have you gone through all that you did growing up, going through grade school, junior high school, college, wherever you might be, getting married, have a family, in a career? Have you gone through all of this for nothing? Is it all really for nothing? Romans 8:28, I like this. We know, do you know it today, church? We know that all things, the suffering, the pain, the hard times, the trouble, the trial, the test, the God, all things, you're going to work it together. You're going to work it together for good for those who love you, those who are called, and those who are walking in your purpose. There is purpose in your pain. Number two, what do I do? Use it to draw closer to God. Don't run from church when things get hard. Don't blame God. God's never to blame. God is for you. Don't blame people. That won't help us. If I blame, I'd be lame, right? If I make excuses, I'll never be a winner in life. If I blame the church and blame Christians and blame other people, nothing will change for the better. So I'm going to use this pain. I'm going to use what the devil meant to destroy me to draw me closer to God. Look what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 on the screen. I think you ought to know, dear brothers, about the hard time we went through. Hard times. We really were crushed. Notice the words now. Hard times, crushed, overwhelmed. We feared that we would never live through it. You've been there. I've been there. Wondering how much longer will this last? I can't take any more, God. Notice the words hard time, crushed, overwhelmed, afraid, thought we would never make it. We felt like we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were, how powerless. We've tried everything in our own power to change it, to improve it, to enhance it, to better it, and it hasn't worked. We were powerless, we were to help ourselves, but thank God for the buts in the Bible. But that was good. Boy, this is a paradigm shift. This is the mindset, not of a victim, but a victor. Paul said, I've gone through hard times, difficult times, hard, to unbearable. We felt crushed. We felt overwhelmed. Is that you today? We felt doomed to die. We would never live through this. But he said, but that was good. Oh, my goodness. Why, Paul? For then we put everything in the hands of God. Do you know, family? Do you know, new friends? Do you know, everything can change today? No matter how bad and how hard, I may not understand it, we may not understand it, but God understands it. He took your grief, he took your burden, he took your sorrow to the cross so you wouldn't have to carry it through life. And notice what he says, that everything changed. It can change today when we take it out of our hands and we put it in his hands, who alone could save us. I like that word. Who could save us, for he can even raise a dead marriage, family, career, dream, business, relationship, with a child, with a friend. And he did help us. The minute that he said, we've tried everything in our own to turn this marriage around, it didn't work. Turn our career, turn our life, turn our health, turn relationships. We couldn't do it. We tried, but when we turned it over, when we put it in the hand of the one who loves us, he said he helped us. He saved us from a terrible death. Yes, and we know life's going to get harder because this world is cursed. It's broken. So we expect, notice the word expect. So we expect when we go through hard times again, we have a testimony. The God who helped me with the lion, the God who helped me with the bear, is the God who can help me with Goliath. God, you did it before, you can do it again. And God, you can do it again, and you can do it again. I'm not going to run from trouble. I'm not going to run from pain. I'm not going to run from suffering. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be held down. I'm not going to be held back. I'm going to start moving forward. I'm going to put it in your hands. And God, you're going to save me. And God, you're going to help me. And God, you're going to do it again and again and again and again and again. Well, number three. We're going to use it to change me for the better. I can either get bitter or I can get better. So I'm going to use what I'm going through today. Even though I may not understand it, I know that God is going to have a purpose come out of it that's going to bring preparation and promotion and position and a platform to be a world changer. Because that's the nature of our God. He's for us. So I'm going to use it to change me. Because my life won't change until I change. My circumstances won't change until I change. So look at this amazing verse, family, on the screen. Proverbs 20 and verse 30. See if it relates. Sometimes it takes a painful experience. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Does that resonate with anybody? It resonates with me. You've heard my story. 1975, Kim and I had been married 2 years, and we loved each other, but we couldn't stand each other. I tried everything I could do to change her, change this, change that, do this, do that. Should have been happy, new Corvette, new motorcycle, great job, going to build a new house, bought an acreage. Everything should have been hunky-dory, but it wasn't. And I had to come to a point on a Sunday morning in October in 1975, God, I can't handle this anymore. I've tried and tried and tried, and it's pointless, so God, I'm going to church today, and I'm going to turn everything over into your hands because I was in a painful situation that either I would change or it won't change. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to wake us up, to make us change our ways. Use it for that. Have you gone through everything for nothing? Is it really for nothing? And number four, use it to help other people. Wow. Use your pain and your suffering to help other people who's going through the very same thing. Look what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 1:4. He comforts us in all our trouble, pain, and suffering. Why, God? So we can comfort other people who are troubled with the same thing. We are able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. Don't you love that? That's so awesome. And number five, as the team comes out right now and gets ready, what's the fifth thing that we can do today to get through that season of suffering, heartache, loneliness, emptiness, and pain? We can use it to build grit. We can use it to build resilience. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It's a business podcast. His name is Ed Milet. I'm not endorsing him. I'm just telling you, giving him the credit. He's a billionaire, and he's a Christian for the Lord. And he was talking on his podcast. He said, the number one secret to success. I said, well, I want to hear that. The number one secret to success. And he said, I've coached presidents of the United States. He said, I've coached CEOs of the greatest corporations in America and around the world. He said, I've done cohorts. I've done all of this. And he said, all the great leaders can be different. Some are introverts, some are extroverts. He said, all these leaders that are great, some can communicate, some can't communicate. Some know how to deal with relationships, and some don't know how to deal with people. They're not people-oriented. But he said, there's one thing in common for all of them. And he said, that's this. They won't quit. That's what Lester Sumrall told me years ago when I asked Dr. Sumrall, what's the key to success? And he said, just don't quit. So you and I want to use our pain. We want to use it to build grit. The harder it gets, the harder we should get. The harder it gets, the harder we should get. That bounce back. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 11:23, the Apostle Paul. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more labor and more abundant stripes and measure in prisons and more frequent in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes of one. Look what he's saying, his hardship, his pain. Thrice I was beaten. Boy, what a resume he has. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water and robbers and countrymen, in perils of the heathen, the city, the wilderness, the sea, hardship, seasons of suffering. In weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and wickedness, besides those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the churches. We are pressed on every side by troubles. Does that sound like you today? But we are not crushed. We are pressed on every side, hemmed in, but we, resilience, grit. We are not perplexed. We are driven, but we're not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we're not abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. So we use it for resilience and we use it for grit. Amen, somebody. So I just want to ask you today, how are you going to respond to this Easter Sunday morning in 2026? Are you going to come to him and see what he can do in your life today? Are you going to stop weeping? Are you going to turn everything over to the hands of God and let him save you and help you and guide you and empower you? To not live a life of pain, but a life of purpose, and realize that whatever bad happens to you, God will turn it around for his good in your life.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church in the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church in the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.